And good morning. Welcome back from the Roscoe Morton Tower right here at Air Show Center. We're joined today by Adam Smith from the Commemorative Air Force. And Adam has his That's All Brother shirt on. It's an airplane that's been on Boeing Plaza the last few days. And have made the official announcement of the Commemorative Air Force acquiring the airplane yesterday. So congratulations, Adam.
Thank you, Steve.
Tell us a little bit about what makes this airplane so special and why folks are gathering around it on the plaza.
Well, this is the airplane that led the D-Day invasion. And I think most people thought it had been lost to the history books. And, everyone assumed it had been scrapped. But about 18 months ago, there was a blog posting from here at Whitman Regional Airport that said, the airplane that led the D-Day invasion has been rediscovered sitting in a boneyard about a mile from where I'm sitting right now, just on the other side of the field. And so one thing led to another, and as you said yesterday, we announced that the CAF has acquired this airplane. We're going to put it back in the air, restore it so that it is exactly as it was on D-Day and can fly again. And we're going to take it back to Europe for the 75th anniversary, and it's a very, very exciting thing. So we've had crowds of people all week looking at the airplane, and it's been really interesting to me how many people just want to reach out and touch it, because I think it represents something more, yeah, more than an airplane. It represents D-Day and World War II and all the sacrifices that that took place.
Yes. Tell us a little bit about the name. It's a rather unusual name.
It is. That's All Brother. I guess people who lived through that era may remember it as a song. It was Ella Fitzgerald sang it, Mae West sang it. I'm not going to torture your ears by trying to sing it this morning, but the refrain was, "That's All Brother, That's All." And you can go and you can look it up on YouTube and if you want to hear the song. As a lot of airplanes, I think it was a phrase that was on people's minds at the time. And the story that's come down to us is they painted this phrase on the aeroplane as a message to Hitler. The invasion's happening, and that's all, brother. So they picked this aeroplane's name because they knew it was going to be the lead aeroplane. It had a special radar fitted. And in fact, if people go and see the aeroplane today and you look under the belly just aft of the leading edge, you can see a round hole patch that's been put on the skin. That's where on D-Day there was a radar unit there, an SCR 717. And remember that we're talking about World War II now, and radar was it had just been invented. It was a very primitive thing. But they wanted the lead ship to have the ability to it could sort of map the coastline. So as they were coming on the bringing the invasion force, there were 801 aeroplanes, and the lead aeroplane had this very primitive radar that could just paint the outline of the coastline of Normandy, so that they knew they were crossing at exactly the right point and could get the drop on target.
And have you been able to find that radar unit?
No, and thank you for the opportunity to talk about it, because we are now, of course, on a hunt for all of the pieces and parts that we need to make this a absolutely perfect replica or restoration of the airplane back to what it was. The good news is we've got already about 90% of what we need. We've through what Basler have and what we've been able to acquire, we've got a lot of the seats and the radio equipment, etc. But there are two or three things that we are still looking for in the restoration, and I would appreciate anyone that has any leads on these things passing them our way. So we do want that radar set, and I know there's one out there. I just know it. They were used not just on aeroplanes in World War II, but after the war, NOAA used them as sort of a very early weather radar. So I'm hoping that either, through military surplus or through, some weather station in the continental USA, we can turn up one of these SCR 717 radars. We're also looking for there was a setup called Rebecca Eureka, and it was a means of sort of communicating between airplanes and ground stations. It was essentially a homing system, and we're looking for the Rebecca part of that that fits on the airplane. So if anyone's got any leads on Rebecca antennas and Rebecca equipment, that would be appreciated too.
Chances are, if that person exists, they're probably here this week.
I would think so, yeah.
And the airplane itself, I was fascinated when you look at how quickly it came off the manufacturing line and ended up in service. It was a very brief period of time.
Yeah, and of course, for D-Day, the whole might of American industry was on a huge push to get all the equipment, everything required for the big invasion. That's all brother was accepted into the military in the first week of April 1945, built in Tulsa, accepted straight into the military, and 2 months later is leading the D-Day invasion. That's how quickly things were happening. I know your next guest is a very honored guest. You have a WASP pilot from World War II, and we are pretty sure that That's All Brother was delivered by a WASP, because we've been able to see the path that it took to Europe. It was built in Tulsa and then flown through Dallas to the East Coast, and that means almost certainly it was flown by WASP, because Dallas was a big hub of the WASP. So maybe your next guest even flew That's All Brother. I don't know, but we should not forget that ladies flew them too.
That's right. And we're talking about flying it. We know who the crew is and the airplane. Talk a little bit about the families that have kind of come to the surface as the story of this airplane is getting out.
We have been learning an incredible amount over the last couple of months. It is a project that we've been working on for about a year, and just in pulling the deal together and making everything happen. We took the wraps off the story about 6 weeks ago, and as some of your listeners may know, we did a Kickstarter crowdsourced fundraising program, and that's got a lot of attention on the airplane, and we were very humbled by the amount of support that came forward. 2,106 people made a pledge of over $328,000 to help us with the cost of acquiring and restoring the airplane. So we started this thing as a crowdsourced fundraiser, and it was great from that perspective. But the unexpected consequence was we also crowdsourced history. So suddenly, we're hearing from family members of people that flew on the plane, and we're getting photographs. And some guys in France sent us film that we'd never seen of the airplane before D-Day, and incredible stuff like that. So it's been a great experience. You put the word out there on the internet, and it spreads like wildfire. And so, frankly, we're still kind of reeling from all this new information that we've got. But it's just making the story richer and richer, and we're learning more and more about it. 6 weeks ago, we knew the names of the crew of the airplane because that was recorded. We knew the name of nobody that actually jumped out of That's All Brother. There would have been about 15 or 16 paratroopers jumped out. But now we think we've got at least half of the people identified, which is great.
And have you been able to identify the dog yet?
Yes. Well, as you know, there was also a dog on board. One of the two pilots, David Daniel, it's recorded in someone's diary, an eyewitness report, that there was a little Scot. He took his little Scotty dog on the trip with him. So, as well as the crew and paratroopers, there was a very I don't know if it was a lucky dog or not. I'm sure it was really noisy and with the airplane and the flak and everything. But yeah.
And the airplane, once it after D-Day, also remained active in several other missions in Europe.
Yeah, this is an airplane that saw basically every major action that the Allies did from D-Day onwards, and this airplane was part of it. So the invasion of southern France that came after D-Day, Operation Dragoon. And the invasion of Holland with Operation Market Garden, the relief of Bastogne during the Battle of the Bulge, the crossing of the Rhine River, all of those actions That's All Brother took part in. And so it's just this incredible story. So anybody, I think one of the reasons we've had so much interest in the thing is that anybody that's got any connection to all of those different things sort of sees something in the airplane. So on the Kickstarter, for example, we got a lot of donations from Holland because the Dutch people have a huge feeling about Operation Market Garden and being liberated and things like that. And it's just full of really great angles.
You mentioned the Kickstarter campaign. The original goal was $75,000, and you blew through that in about the first 36 hours or so.
Yeah, we did. It was really, really incredible. I'll never forget that first morning when we launched the Kickstarter, because truthfully, my personal feelings were fear. It was like, you know, we're looking for $75,000, and maybe this will be really embarrassing because no one will make a contribution. But it couldn't have been further from the truth. You know, within less than 2 days, we'd blown right through that $75,000, and it allowed us to go on, and we set a second goal of $250,000, and then we didn't think we'd make that, but with a week to go, we blew through that also. It is going to be an expensive program. This is a world-class aeroplane, and the work we need to do on it needs to be more than kind of slap a coat of paint on it and make it look good, which we could do, and it would, you know, but it wouldn't be doing justice to the story and the history that is in this aircraft. So we want to do it this not just to fly That's All Brother on the 75th anniversary of D-Day. The vision we have is that this, we want to fly this on the 175th anniversary of D-Day, and I mean that. So the way we're approaching the restoration is to sort of set ourselves up to preserve the original metal, and all, you know, that we want to keep as much of the original aircraft together as possible, but also do some things. For example, the wiring is shot, and you know, we don't want to be trying to repair bad wiring for years and years. It's going to cost well over $100,000 to rewire the airplane, but this is the time to do it. So a lot of corrosion needs to be fixed. The airplane's been sitting outside for a long time, and so we're still working on the plan, but the best guess is, you know, this could be over $1 million to restore the airplane. So I'm glad we're getting all this support through Kickstarter, because we truly need it, and it's been just tremendous the way everyone has stepped forward to help. And now we feel that obligation to do justice to the support that we've had, and you know, we're very 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 excited to get started. So right after Oshkosh, the airplane will be towed back over to Basel, and I think the work will begin.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll come back and talk a little more about the future of That's All Brother. We're talking with Adam Smith from the Commemorative Air Force. This is From the Stand on EIA Radio.